Om Shanti, good morning. I've loved this topic very much of a simple life of jnana and yoga. Because as I was thinking about this, so many things flash back into my mind of how I often say Baba has so much of style. You know? I often look at Baba and I say, Baba, you have so much of style. Because there's so many things that Baba includes in our journey that makes it so beautiful and so powerful, and yet it's so simple. It's our own mind and cleverness at times that make it very complicated. And if I just keep to the essence of what Baba has come to do in our lives, we realize the beauty and simplicity. And as I was thinking about the topic, so many things echoed through my being. And one of that is how Baba teaches us and makes us belong to Him in such a clean and simple way. Like today when Baba was saying, you are now in the godly lap. A few days ago in the Avyak Murli, he said, you are worthy of godly sustenance. Baba is inviting us to open that heart space for things to happen. I've shared the example before, but if you have heard it, just be patient with me. But, you know, many years ago, I was invited to a children's home. I often go to homes to help in some level of service. And there was a home that I had gone to, a little children's home in South Africa. And many of the children there are HIV positive, and some are born as children with AIDS. And I often go there just to spend some time with these children. And I remember one day, there was a couple that came to this home. And this couple was interested in adopting a baby. So they played with many of the babies in the home. And they looked at this one baby and said, we would like to take, her name was Imbali, and said, I'd like to take little Imbali home. And they said that it's not possible because she's the one who was in the most delicate position. When she was born, she couldn't really breathe. Her immune system was at its lowest. Her white blood cell count was very low. The body was extremely fragile, and it was like she was in the ICU unit of this home. So this couple looked at the baby and played with all the other babies, and then decided, okay, if they're not going to let us adopt this baby, we'll just come and spend time with these children. I saw them come back 2 weeks later, and we understand spiritually there must have been some karmic connection, so they were drawn back to the same child. And so the home did not allow them to adopt this baby. But what they said to the couple is, come every day and you can spend time with this child. And in a month's time, we will decide what to do. And I saw the mother-to-be of this child come. She would wear her mask and she would wear her gown so that there's no further infection that could reach the baby. And I would see her hold this baby and just give it so much of love. It was a very powerful scene for me to watch. And it didn't take long. In a week's time, the oxygen mask was off. In a short time after that, the immunity started becoming stronger. The white cell count increased. And I thought, why was this scene so pertinent in my journey? And it became very clear that this is what Baba does to us. And little Imbali is now maybe 8 years old, 9 years old. She's very well. I see her at times. She's healthy. And Imbali in Africa means beautiful flower. So she's certainly blossomed into a beautiful flower. And just watching that scene and translating that scene into our own lives, for me was a very precious moment for me. That Baba makes this life so simple. And the question is, do I want to welcome that journey? Just like this baby that was in the arms of this mother and was getting back its life. Do I allow myself to be still enough, just in Baba's drishti, and over a period of time allowing that drishti to give me back my life? Because in Baba's drishti, all masks fall down. You can keep masks on in many different areas of your life. But in Baba's drishti, as Baba's drishti touches the soul, you have the courage to drop another mask, and another mask, and another mask. So that what remains is you. And that's so important. And one of the things, as we have been here for a while, the first question that I ask you to reflect on for a very short while is, in the time that you've been here, and as you have had the opportunity through these days, either in Baba's room, either as you walked past somewhere, either in Baba's meeting, wherever it may be, how did you feel Baba's drishti made it safe for you to drop those masks? And what masks were they that you discovered in yourself that you still held? So I'm going to give you about 10 minutes. The rest of the work will go on. This is an interactive session, okay? And so I'll just play a little bit of music in the background. But just taking the help of Baba's drishti, because within God's drishti gives me the courage and the ability to let go and allow God to work on me. So take a few minutes now and just think about this whole aspect of which masks you felt you were able to drop easily through the safety of Baba's drishti. Is it clear? That means you have to do some work. Everyone has pen and paper? Yeah? For a short while, because we're going to consolidate what has happened here. So just take a few minutes and think about those moments in this time that you were here, and how Baba's drishti was so safe for you that you could drop those masks. It didn't matter. To help those that may not understand the question. Sometimes we wear the mask of busyness. Sometimes we wear the mask of being over-responsible. Sometimes we wear the mask of, I'm okay, but inside I'm not okay. Whatever it may be. What is it for you that you felt in these last few days Baba's home and the purity of this place gave you the opportunity to drop those masks. So I repeat the question. In the time that you were here, and as you experience Baba's drishti for you, in the safety of that drishti, what masks did you discover, and also did you drop them? When Shiv Baba first came, he met the children through the drishti. It is through those eyes that God introduced himself. So in those eyes of truth, and as I felt that drishti, what naturally melted away. Okay. So take time to ponder on this deeper as you consolidate it for yourself. The second aspect of the life, of the simple life of Gyan and Yoga, and the foundation that Baba set in this yajna, is the foundation of purity. There's so many levels to purity. So many of the slogans that we've heard in the last few weeks, especially this past week, in the Murli, deepen this level of understanding purity. So the second question that comes, you may have been part of different retreats. You may have been part of different conversations. But in those conversations, what came up that helped you understand or feel the openness of the depth of purity? Scan through the last few days of your time at the retreats and ponder on this question of purity. Because a simple life is a life based on purity. What aspect of purity did you discover in your time here? Purity has so many dimensions and such depth and subtlety. What aspect of purity became more clearer for you in this time that you were here? So in what way has Madhuban helped you deepen your purity? In the last few days, Baba has been talking about complete purity. And so how did this aspect of purity become clearer and was deepened as an experience for you whilst you were here? Think about it in a very real way, because as we go out back into the world beyond this beautiful vibration of Madhuban, how is that purity our total protection? You know, Baba often says, when there is purity, no violence can touch you. So there's many levels of violence in the world. emotional, physical, in relationships, with matter. So how much have I deepened this purity in this purest land of Madhuban, so that the soul becomes purely non-violent? For impurity, violence cannot touch you. Peacelessness cannot hold you. What is the level of purity that I have discovered within myself as I'm here in Madhuban? And what can I deepen further in my purity? Okay, so you can take time to go deeper into it whilst you have a few more days maybe in Madhuban. The third aspect of the simple life of Gyan and Yoga, if we look at our dadis, we look at the original days of the Yajna, there wasn't too much of classes, there wasn't too much of workshops like this one. It was a journey of recognition. The children recognized Baba, and Baba recognized his children. The Yajna was created through this deep level of recognition. Gyan came later. I remember the time when our dadis used to share, whether I remember Daddy Manohar or I remember Daddy Ji or even recently listening to Daddy Ratan Mohini and a few days ago Daddy Gulzar and then our Daddy Janki. If we really, really look at them and what they are sharing, it's about a journey of recognition. You know, have I recognized Baba? It's a deep question. You can know someone, it's one thing. But when you recognize them, it's something totally different. Knowing can be based on having certain facts and knowledge. But when a child recognizes its parent in a distance, it doesn't have all these facts going through, this could be my dad. It's like, Daddy, there you are. Our journey with Baba is that of recognition. Because when you've recognized someone, that's it. No matter what they put on, you look at them and you say, no, it's you, I know it's you, because you've recognized them. So how clear is my recognition of Baba? Is it still at head level? Is it still at intellectual level? what's happening? It's good to check. Because when you recognize, the original memory returns. This journey is about awakening your original memory. When the child has recognized its parent, the whole life passes by naturally. Oh, that's my dad. You know, when I was young, I used to play with him. He used to take me here. It's like the story comes alive because you've recognized. So when I recognize Baba, the original memory returns. Because the simple life of Gyan and Yoga is about awakening my original memory. As I was, as I am, so will I be. That same original memory. So in the time that you are here, you know, take time and sit with Baba and really have this heart-to-heart conversation. In whatever it takes to deepen this level of recognition. And therefore the first question of purity, because purity cleanses, it cleans the window to recognition. If the window is stained, I cannot see further. So when the purity is there, then the recognition comes easier. When the purity is there, the soul naturally becomes quiet. And recognition is born in stillness. When you recognize a being, it's not often a noisy moment. It's like first there's a recognition, you are the same one. And then everything else begins. That which you have recognized, you hold naturally. And in this journey, I need to make my relationship with Baba natural. Because when the drama intensifies, when our karmic accounts heighten, only that which is natural in your being will carry you. Anything else will go out the window at that moment. But only that which is real and natural in your being will walk with you. How much have I recognized Baba in Baba's subtlety during this time in Madhuban? Baba is so subtle, extremely powerful, but totally subtle. He says, I'm the subtlest of the subtle being. So I have to really tug myself to really ask myself this question honestly. Is this just knowledge or is this recognition? You can know of someone, but when you recognize them, it's totally different. Because when you recognize them, you can live with them. In life, it's one thing to know someone and a totally different experience to live with them, isn't it? They say only you get to know someone once you live with them. And so, in order to live with God, I have to first recognize Him. So how much have I deepened my recognition of Baba during this time that I'm here? Not from an intellectual space, but from a deep, deep moment of stillness and purity, backed up in such a beautiful atmosphere that has deepened this moment with Baba. And even if you can't feel it now, it doesn't matter, but keep this question with you. Because it's very important. It's about recognition. If I study all our dadis and I study the lives of all our wonderful seniors. And when you look into their eyes as they're talking about Baba, they're not sharing theory. They've lived with this being. And I also have the opportunity to live with this being. So how much have I deepened that? Okay. The next aspect is the aspect of realizations. I remember Nirbhay many years ago telling me, I was so excited, and I went to him and I said to him, you know, I've had all these realizations. And I showed him my book. I said, see, I have all these realizations. And he looked at me and he said, so what's your plan? And I said, I don't have one yet. And he said, okay, come and see me again after you've made a plan. And that was a very important thing he shared with me, because your realization is only as powerful as the plan you've made with that realization. So realization is not good enough. Once you've had a realization, you have to do something about the realization. So during this time in Madhuban, for me, when I've had moments of realizations, then I just, I have post-its, no? Just so that the post-its, I can play with them afterwards. So I just, when something happens to me, I just put it on a post-it and I keep them in different places and then I work with them. Because everything may seem so real here in Madhuban, but soon as you leave here, the world has a more gross energy, and the subtlety of what Madhuban offers as a gift is sometimes then not caught in its fullness. Because we're walking into a gross energy field, or a much more grosser energy field. And so think about the aspect of your realizations. What realizations came through for you? For me, one of the deepest ones, it was a very simple one, but extremely deep for me, was the one day when Asha Didi was talking to the youth. And she had said that the deepest attachment the soul has, it's to its body. I've heard it many times before, but that day it like hit home. And she was sharing how even when the soul has left the body, how it takes time before the soul actually moves away from the body. And you know, that's why, like I know in the East, for at least 13 days, there's like a thing that they do so that there's this mutual, respectful separation that is allowed between the soul and the body. And so, just for yourself, what were the deep things, some things that you heard, some things that you felt, some things that came up in conversations? What are the things that hit home for you? What were your deepest realizations? Whilst you are here and before you leave Madhuban, scan through your notebook. Scan through the things you've written quietly somewhere. Scan through those Amrit Vela moments that you've had. And think about all those moments of realizations that you had. Sometimes the realization may be, oh, this I must improve on. And when I have a realization of something, I just write it and make a note around it so that I got work to do. And then we can do that work. So whilst you are in this atmosphere of Madhuban, think about the deepest realizations that this trip of Madhuban offered to you. And what's your plan about those realizations? What are you going to do with it? How are you going to deepen your experience of it? Okay. Another aspect of just what Dadi has been sharing and for me has beckoned me to pay attention to it is the whole aspect of who am I and who is mine. Me kon, mera kon. You know, it has so many levels to it. And it's good to use this time. There's something very deep in this message that our Dadi is sharing with us. So how much have I digested just these two questions? Who am I and who is mine? It's a very strong pathway that has been created by Dadi. So that it's like a signpost. Digest this, understand this, so that as the times ahead comes, we are able to be steady and anchored in who we really are. When I hear Dadi every time talk about, in her class, me kon, mera kon, who am I, who is mine, I really see that as a way that she's calling me to see the next signpost, to say, understand this clearly and you'll be able to find your pathway to your next point of destination. And then Baba in the Avyak Murli, who is in my heart? So I drew a heart, and Baba said that sometimes there's one and there's maybe others too, no? Maybe another one somewhere. But it was very beautiful to see. I drew a heart, and I put Baba in the middle of my heart, and then around the heart, I wasn't shy to see who comes close to that heart. You know? It can be many things. It can be the things you like to do. It doesn't always have to be people. It's like different things that can come close to that heart. And I find when you do a visual of it, it becomes very clear what is closest to your heart. One can sit and think about it and think, well, yes, Baba is there. But just draw this heart and do this homework of seeing who has the courage or what has the courage to come closest to that heart. It's your sacred heart space. Who or what has the courage to come close to that heart space? Or who has occupied that heart space? It's an energy of honesty. Because I really feel that in 2017, Baba is encouraging us to heighten our frequency. Because only when your frequency is high, that the drama below it cannot hold you. But in order for that frequency to be high, the soul has to be clean. You know? Again, the whole aspect that Dadi often shares. Just absolute cleanliness of the heart. Satyata and Safayata. How much is there the truth and how much is there the cleanliness? And when that is there, things begin to happen. So another bit of homework is just create a heart when you have the chance and look at what comes closest to your heart space. I had many realizations when I did it, and I thought, this is why God asks us to do this homework, when He says, who is in your heart? Sounds lovely, but His Baba is really encouraging us to be honest, because it's that honesty that will draw that power and strength within our being. So another aspect that gets very deeply highlighted in the simple life of Gyan in yoga is the level of simplicity that Baba has taught us, our seniors have taught us, and on three levels: physical simplicity, emotional simplicity, and spiritual simplicity. On the level of physical simplicity, I remember two stories that I've always appreciated. Actually three, very simple ones but very important ones. Is how on a physical level, things in our life need to be in order. I remember once Dadi taught me a very important lesson. She had come for the first time to South Africa, and she shared a very simple message with me, which still today helps me. And she had come into the center and she looked and she said, make sure all the clocks in the center are on the same time. I said, okay. She didn't even say hello. She said, put the clocks right. And they were just out maybe a little, you know, like. But she was sharing that when one is not accurate in that way, it will pull on the intellect. You think you're on time and then you come somewhere and you realize you're 5 minutes late. It's just a pull. It was a very simple lesson. But till today, it was a very important lesson. That part of simplicity is stay accurate. Even physically, stay accurate. Because then you don't have to overcompensate for the inaccuracies that are there. The second aspect of that is, till today, if you go to Dadi's room, you won't find the room cluttered. She'll never have, there's nothing on her bed, on her bedside. It's a very important lesson, because on the physical level, when I am able to keep it clear and simple, then I'm creating space within my being. You know, today, unfortunately, many people go and sleep with their cell phones near their head, with their iPads, with their technology around them. I mean, it's there, but I have to be alert about the impact it's having on me, even on a physical level. We need to use it. I'm not saying it mustn't be used, but it does something. It does something to our subtle consciousness if I allow it to invade my space vibrationally. And so, keeping that simple life is really that question of how much am I not allowing the technology around me to influence that subtle consciousness, especially when I'm going to sleep, because the subconscious is absorbing a lot. You know, Baba and the Dadis used to pay a lot of attention. I remember the stories that our Dadis used to share of how Baba and the Dadis used to come visit their rooms, no? To just see if it's neat and tidy. And it's not about just an external discipline. It has a deep impact on one's subtle consciousness. So just keep it simple. Royalty and simplicity. We see this in our dadis, we see this in our yajna. Totally simple, but royal. Royalty and simplicity. I went to visit Ishu Dadi this time in her room, and she showed me this watch that she had on, and she said, "You know, this watch is from the beginning." I said, "But it's in such good condition." And she said, "Yes, I got the watch from the beginning." She still wears that same watch on her wrist. She said once Baba looked at all the children and he saw all his fancy watches. And he said to them, "You don't need them." But she was the only one who was allowed to wear the watch. And that's the watch. When you go past it, just look carefully, you'll see that watch. It's silver colored. Huh? But, you know, and she's looked after it. So it's like, you know, the world of Kali Yuga is a world of indulgence and consumption. There's a lot of indulgence and consumption in the energy of the Iron Age. So to walk into simplicity means not to be enslaved by indulgence and consumption. So just to scan your day-to-day life and just look at, do I stay with the beautiful simplicity that Baba has created in this yajna? Everything of this yajna originally is simple and royal. Do my life echo simplicity and royalty? Emotional simplicity, and especially in terms of relationships, have I kept my relationships clean and clear? Simple. Any relationship that gets complicated is going to hold you. You're going to be enslaved by it. So just keep it simple. In our relationships, not to be too clever in our agendas. Keep it pure and keep it simple, and it will set you free. And if you've taken sorrow from those relationships, the decision is now in your hands. You either live with it or you release it. We have God, and God will help us. But as soon as I do not release those relationships, the mind will think too much, and that is not simple. In simplicity, there's a natural energy flow. When there's, you know, like a river, when the river is flowing beautifully, there's a natural energy flow. But when there's lots of rocks and, you know, there's a lot of noise too. And so look at the quality of your relationships and ask yourself, is there a natural energy flow? And, you know, really this journey is about no blame. I'm just delaying my journey if my journey is still based on blame, because of. There's no because of. Just get on with it and keep your heart clean. As simple as that. You know? Sometimes we assert ourselves too much in relationships. We complicate it. The choice is ours. I look at Brahma Baba's expressions on his faces, all the different poses. Baba lived a life of simplicity, but every every pose of Baba showed proactive stillness. There was a proactive stillness. Baba is still, but proactive. Every pose of Baba, walk around the history hall, walk around and look at Baba's poses. And Baba was proactive in his journey, but there was a proactive simplicity and stillness. I've always loved just looking at Baba's poses and Baba's face and Baba's interaction. They taught me a lot and they still teach me a lot about what his relationship's all about. And then the spiritual simplicity. And that is to ask the self very honestly this question of my connection with Baba. You know, you can have a kettle next to a PowerPoint, or you can plug it in. And you can, or your cell phone, you can have it right next to the PowerPoint. But the reality is your battery is not going to get charged. Only when you plug in will you have a fully charged battery. Otherwise you just look at it and you say, how nice. But you can't do anything because the battery is flat. So I have to ask myself this question very frankly. Have I plugged in? Or am I thinking about plugging in still? Yeah. And in that spiritual journey, ask the self, have I closed all other applications? Like, you know, in your cell phone, sometimes there are many hidden applications and they just, your battery goes flat and your data's finished. Yeah? I know the experience. So I have to learn to close all those apps. Then there is a nice connection. So I have to ask myself this question very openly and honestly. Which other applications of my life's journey are still open? Because they are quietly reducing my battery and reducing my experience. They may not be loud. Do I have many apps open? Or do I have the main one that I need on my journey open? It's good to scan through your time and be able to see that. And then finally, Baba, during this time, from the moment you have come to Madhuban, you have received blessings. You know, these blessing cards. And the question is, what do I do with it? Some of you may have come from Pandav Bhavan, may not have been told, but many were encouraged to come with their blessing cards today. Simply because, but now I will just share what you can do, and you can do it in your own time. But sometimes what happens is we come to Madhuban, we receive so many beautiful blessings, and sometimes we look at it and we say, oh, so nice. And then we put it in a nice packet and we take it home and then. One of the things that have helped me over the years is I use my blessings to help me through my time. So I'll just share with you what I do. This is my book. And so this is very good. I haven't got my glasses, so I don't know what I've written. Anyway. But from day one, when I received my first blessing, I look at the blessing and I feel this is from Baba. But then I write the blessing down again. Because sometimes we don't digest it enough. So the first blessing that I had got when I just came to Madhuban this time is you are Babdada's child who remains under Baba's canopy of protection. You have made the Supreme Soul your friend and maintain, and you remain merged in God's love. Your effort has now finished and you have now stepped into love. So that was my first blessing. So I wrote it down. And then what I do below that is I respond to the blessing. Because then it becomes important. So I wouldn't tell you the full story, but partly of what I wrote. Fortunately, I can't read it, so I can't tell you everything. But it says, so this was my blessing, and then, so in response to that, I said, yes, my precious Baba, I really feel safe being here. And then I continue. It's in response to that. And then the next day I received another blessing. And I felt, as I went through the time and the days went by, it was this beautiful virtual conversation that was between Baba and I. And I've seen through the whole time, with all the blessings, if I look at it in this time of Madhuban, I've received more than 25 blessings, which is a lot. And it's beautiful. But they've become my thread of conversation. And so I take, so if I receive a blessing and then I quietly go back to my room and I say, okay, so this is what you say to me now. And then I write it down and then I respond to it. And in that way, there's been a very beautiful thread through my whole Madhuban season of seeing, and you'll find as you put all your blessings down, there's a very specific message that Baba has just for you. But only until you write it down and you see the flow and the thread, do you realize that very special blessing. So I'm going to encourage you, if you do have some time now in Madhuban, to really just take that time and in whichever style works for you. For me, journaling works. Maybe your style is different. Whatever the style is, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is you've acknowledged the fullness of those blessings. Because those blessings are not just a blessing. They have really been your signposts and has been your gifts from Madhuban to take you to your next step. Okay? And then when you feel ready and in a very concise space, we've been very lucky from the team, the organizing team of the retreats here. We've got lovely cards that have been given to us. Aren't they lovely? Yeah. So when you've worked it out for yourself fully as to what you feel is that very special message, after working through all your blessings and all the other things that you've done, then write that at the back of this, and then this could be what you take away with you. You know, it's very important to go from Madhuban in a consolidated space. Sometimes we think, when I get back, I will catch up. You'll never have the time to catch up in the subtlety. So if you have the next few days or the next few hours, really just take this time now. And all those questions we've looked at, do the digestion. Because when you digest your time in Madhuban, you go there with a good energy flow. It has turned into your spiritual blood. Otherwise, you've just taken takeaways. You haven't eaten them yet. Yeah? Sometimes we're happy with takeaways, but they're not always the healthiest. You have to sit down still, and you have to eat it, isn't it? So we've had many things from Madhuban that has been given to us. But the homework is in our hands. And what we do with it to turn it and fuel it into that blood is up to us. So I hope that this next few days provide you with that opportunity to digest and nourish and take the gifts of these very few valuable days of the confluence age. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti, thank you so much, Dipti Ban. What an important session, no? To bring together all the threads of the experience over the last 14 days. And I just wonder if anyone has any like really important question to them. Is it okay if they, if anyone has anything that you really want to ask? Yeah, Matisse.
I do have a question, and it's about, so you explained us very nicely how we can prepare our living from other one. And then once we are back, we are in a world that works quite differently. And I really feel like the last hour you brought us so much into our heart, and I feel the world outside is so much lift up here. And I find it the most challenging to bridge that gap. And sometimes, for example, I don't even know what to churn because I'm so much in the head. And so do you have any specific tips how we can keep our energy down in the heart rather than always getting trapped in our own old way of thinking?
My approach to Gyan is very simple and not complicated. So I just find two things that help me a lot, and that is my preparation from Madhuban. And it's amazing when you go back and you keep reading what you have done, it keeps something alive. So I find it's not about a balance between here and there. But really when I'm going from here, it's about creating a strategy of integration. So for me, every morning as well, till now, I love the experience of Pandav Bhavan and the four spades, pilgrimage places. And even when I'm back in my country, I come every day to Madhuban. And I don't hesitate to come every day to Madhuban. And that keeps that frequency alive. Because the beautiful thing is, as consciousness, we are not bound by time and space. And so we can be where we need to be. And so to come to Madhuban as often as we can, with our state of consciousness, is for me the first step that is very important. The second thing I find, for me, what deepens the focus is quiet time every day. I'm not even talking about saying I'm sitting for yoga, but natural quiet time, where I sometimes take paper and pen and I just doodle, I just write. And you begin to see what's at the surface. And what's just beneath that surface. And I always find my conversational energy with Baba always directs my next churning energy. And so that is really the heart space. Because you can get so caught up in the head space of I need to churn this or I need to churn that. One of the things I do that has helped me over the years is the blessing in the Murli. So I listen to the blessing and I write about the blessing. So I say to Baba, yes, you've told me this today. This is how I feel. Or I find I make it very conversational with Baba. A lot of the writing that I do is conversational. And that has kept me in a heart space. But it has also directed me as to what is important as a focus point in my thinking. And so to catch the wave of the moment of what is needed comes from that kind of space for me. But still time, if you ask me what it is we need to take time to be quiet. Very naturally quiet. It's not even, I wouldn't even call it yoga time or study time. Just be still and catch what's happening. You know, that's it. Can't forget to be still. Even nature teaches us that. Even the traffic teaches us that. That at some point you have to stop.
Can I just start, just connected to that, that? Because now as in the world, that aspect of busyness is getting, you know, more and more prevalent, then one is, you know, connecting to our heart, using that stopping and stillness to connect to our heart, but then also to, you know, make sure that we don't go. Do you feel that it's more important as the world is getting more crazy? And Brahman seemed to be saying I'm busy a lot more than we did say 10 years ago. Do you think that's also, you know, what's your take on that? Do you think we should be so busy?
I often have a reputation of I'm looking like I'm doing nothing. And I think it's really about an approach. I really think it's a choice that we have. You know, sometimes people wonder if I'm ever doing something. But I am. I just don't have to be noisy about it. No? It's like, I think it's an approach. We've brought a lot of things out of Kali Yuga into our confluence aged life for a sense of so-called security and a sense of identity and a sense of self-importance, and a sense of so-called self-respect. And actually none of those are needed. God gives us a pure self-respect. And so, sometimes, you know, once Daddy had said that a busy intellect is a lazy intellect. Huh? Remember she stirred when she gave this very bold statement. But it's true. I really believe that you can be proactively very generating in your energy fields. But you don't necessarily have to be busy. Because busyness is more of a grosser energy field than being proactively energizing. One can be proactively energizing and engaging, but one doesn't necessarily have to be busy. This busyness starts at the thought level. But beneath that thought level is awareness. And awareness can do a lot. But it doesn't have to be busy.
And can I ask, is there anyone else have another question? Yeah? You're very welcome to ask. Just one, I want to ask one last thing. It was coming up and from yesterday, but just recently about, you know, now is the time of settlement. Baba said that a lot in the Sakamalis. It's happening. It is that time now, and there's 7.3 or 4 billion souls in the world settling. And so just, and also I think also the animals, you know, billions of souls suffer, you know, animal souls that are living a life of suffering, you know, not just when they're being killed, but their whole life, often they live in suffering, and they also release vibrations into the atmosphere. So then the world is in that state, and then Mother Nature as well, the impact of our actions on Mother Nature. So if we are not, you know, generating like a very powerful energy consciously, then
We will absorb.
We will absorb, no? So, and maybe we're not really conscious that we're absorbing, and so it can manifest in our life in all sorts of different ways that, you know, we're not really aware, okay, I absorb this and this is why it's in my life in this way. I might just say, oh, it's, you know, my body's not well or my mind's not well. So what's your thought about that? And another thing that was coming up in a conversation we're having yesterday is the importance of bringing the subtle region down here. Mm. You know, being really proactive and creating that energy here so that I'm not absorbing, but I'm supporting the process of transformation.
I think it's about really that aspect. I was writing recently a lot about conscious living. And in this level of conscious living, I become very much aware. I've had the opportunity in the last while to go to prisons and do work in prisons. And I was in the company of long-term prisoners. These are prisoners that are in prison for like 13 to 15 years. So they have an interesting vibration. And even the prison itself has quite an interesting vibration. Especially the prisons in Africa are very different. And so when I often came back from the prisons, I could feel how my energy was drained. And I said to myself, I'm not going to go back again. And I went again. I'm not going to go back again. I went again. But that scene told me that actually that was just one scene that was like that. But it's actually a sample of the vibrational field in our world, you know. And so how every time when I went into the prison, I virtually and inwardly deeply prepared myself, I realized this is how I have to be every day. Because, you know, just walking through that prison cells, and I felt that in order for me not to absorb this even at a cellular level, I really had to vibrate this energy of light at a very deep level. And so I feel, you know, again, what is our body of light? Our body of light is the energy vibrated through the original qualities of the soul. That's what creates our body of light. It's the original qualities of the soul that are vibrating around my being that is creating that energy of light. So that's why when my vibrational body is alive through the original qualities of the soul, the vibration is much more, like when people talk about auras that are much more spread out, and that's our protection. But also whilst I'm doing that, I'm protecting myself, but also if I'm vibrating at that level, I am supporting. So from my side, I really found that over a period of time, and also the level of sorrow, you know. I've had to be in this year, well, 2016, in certain places where there was just so much of pain. So much of pain. And at times I would say to Baba, it's a lot, you know. But you also realize that, again, one of the things I've always appreciated about Baba was the benevolence of God's energy. So I always remind myself that I'm the child of the benevolent one. And so whatever has to vibrate out of me has to be of benevolence. Nothing less than that. And that helps the soul to keep its frequency high. And in that way you don't absorb, but you're also able to serve through it. But it's real. And I found that is what tempted me to write on conscious living. Baba has many languages about conscious living, but for me this word conscious living resonated to write about it for myself, because I realize one has to be very conscious at a vibrational level to be able to pump out as such, vibrate that. Otherwise you absorb. It's as simple as that. And then you live with it. And also to do things physically. You know, Baba has systems, and those systems were for a reason. That's why when we go out, when we come back to our homes from the world outside, shower, change those clothes. It's Baba's system, especially when you cook or whatever. You know, everything that Baba's created has been for a reason. And more we're seeing it's all coming alive, because Baba knew in the bigger picture of it. You know? So don't live with that stale energy or the energy of the day. When you come home, shower it away, wash it away, and you feel fresh and alive and awake and alert and enthusiastic.
Thank you so much for that. Any last? No? No? But what a beautiful closing, so we know what we're going back to do, to vibrate out, and as children of the Benevolent One. And Gopi, when you have those cards, do you think we could do it in yoga, and we come up and take one of our senior...
It's okay, I don't have a name identity. They're smiling because you call me Gopi.
So. You know, I can't... you know what happened? I have to say honestly... believe that I keep doing, but I know why, because before we had this class I had many calls with her about daddy, and is daddy coming, is she not coming, and then this and that, and then through the I've been having calls and I
it's so, not a problem we
yeah, but I also know there's another reason why I'm calling you that. You know why? Because you are so close to each other and you've spent so many lives together. And very often we have you together. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, Dipti.
No. I have no but issue.
Is it okay? Could we do it like that? That we come up and have... we take the cards from you? Or did you have another thought?
No. Initially I thought it would be an activity. But then time carried us away. So, maybe... But it's good to do the work before you put the final bit on this card. So there's a lot of homework to do between now and then.
Yeah.
So then you can put the final bit here.
So.